Lord, hear our prayers. And Lord, for those who are struggling with the weight of the fear and the anxiety and the isolation, that's not you, God. You are a God of connection, a God of promise and togetherness and belonging. That's what we pray for. And anything else we come against in Jesus' name. I pray, Lord, that we feel in the midst of this, what the world is calling a time of isolation, that it is indeed a time of connection with you and your church and each other, God. May none of us feel alone, even those tuning in online whose health is really at a risk to not physically gather. We pray, Lord, that you would still connect us, that we would still stand together as your people. And I just praise you and thank you, and for everyone here and everyone tuning in, I thank you for what you're doing at Greenwoods, and may we continue to shine your light and offer hope in these chaotic times. And we thank you, Lord Jesus, for the words that you gave us when you taught us to pray, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen." Well, good morning, everyone. It really is a glorious day. I just wanted to talk a little bit about, just for a moment, about fear. There's so much of it going around. There's so much panic and frenzy even. And our God is not a God of fear. What's interesting, though, is all throughout Scripture, over 300 times, it says, "Don't fear." God tells us and commands us not to fear. Yet, then we read the Proverbs, which says, "Fearing God is the beginning of wisdom." How can that be? What is this dichotomy? What does it mean to fear God if he doesn't want us to be a fearful people? And that's just something I'd like for us to explore just for a moment. In the Chronicles of Narnia by C.S. Lewis, fabulous, wonderful story, the author has two girls, Susan and Lucy, getting ready to meet Aslan the lion. He represents Christ in the Chronicles of Narnia. Two talking animals, Mr. and Mrs. Beaver, they prepare the children for the encounter. "Ooh," said Susan, "I thought he was a man. Is he quite safe? I shall feel rather nervous about meeting a lion." "That you will, dearie," said Mrs. Beaver, "and make no mistake. If there's anyone who can appear before Aslan without their knees knocking, they're either braver than most or else just silly." "Then he isn't safe," said Lucy. "Safe," said Mr. Beaver. "Don't you hear what Mrs. Beaver tells you? Who said anything about safe? Of course he isn't safe. But he's good. He's the king, I tell you." Wise words. And I think much like God, there's much to be, maybe fear isn't the right word, you know, maybe that's we need to reconsider that word in our translations. Scripture's full of examples about how fearing God is positive rather than a negative thing. In Genesis 42 verse 18, Joseph wins his brother's trust when he declares that he is a God-fearing man. It was because the midwives feared God that they obeyed him instead of the authorities by sparing Hebrew babies in Exodus chapter 1. Pharaoh brought disaster on his nation because he didn't fear God in Exodus 9. Moses chose leaders to help him on the basis that they feared God and wouldn't take bribes. We read that in Exodus 18. And he told the Hebrews that God met with them in a terrifying display of his power so that they wouldn't sin. The Mosaic Law cites the fear of God as a reason to treat the disabled and elderly well. And lest you think that this is only an Old Testament idea, Jesus himself says this stronger than anyone else when he says, don't be afraid of those who want to kill your body. They cannot touch your soul. Fear only God, he says, who can destroy both soul and body in hell. And that's in Matthew chapter 10, verse 28. The Apostle Paul says to work toward complete holiness because we fear God in 2 Corinthians. So it's clear from these passages that fearing God is good because it saves us from caving into our own sinful desire. But I still think, I wonder if there's a better word than fear. And I just find it interesting that, you know, fear, it's an abstract concept. But the Hebrew word translated fear has a more concrete definition behind it. There's multiple words for the word fear in the Hebrew. The first one is pahad. Fear, it came upon me, we read this in Job, and trembling and caused all my bones to shake, Job says. So in this word, in this verse, the word fear, pahad, means shaking. While the word shake, it's a verb as well, and it means to shake. So the second Hebrew word translated as fear is yara. And in Genesis 3, we read, and he said, I heard your voice in the garden, this is Adam, and I feared yara because I was naked and I hid myself. But then it also can be translated as revere. And we read this in Deuteronomy 6. You will revere, same word, yara, you will revere Yahweh, your Elohim, and you will serve him, and in his name you will swear. So many would conclude from these several passages that the Hebrew word has two different meanings, fear and reverence. And the assumption is made with many Hebrew and Greek words like this because we have a non-Hebrew and non-Greek understanding of these perspective. Each Hebrew word and each Greek word only has one meaning, but can have different applications. That's what varies. The literal concrete meaning of yara, if you look in a lexicon, it means the flowing of the gut. And I think that's key. And that can be applied to fear. It can also be applied to reverence. It can be applied to awe and wonder. And here's what one of these lexicons says. Have you ever been so scared or been in the presence of something so amazing that you could feel it in your gut? That's happened to me before. That feeling is the meaning of yara, of this word fear. And the Hebrews were very emotional people. And in many cases, their words describe a feeling rather than an action. The fear, yara, of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And the knowledge of the holy is understanding. That's Proverbs 9. So the word fear here, it's derived again from yara, and the common understanding is it's great awe, it's wonder, and that's the beginning of wisdom. That's what our scriptures tells us. So the Hebrew for fear of the Lord, it's two nouns, right? We have fear, yara, and then we have Yahweh, which we translate as God. And it's just interesting that when we look at that construct in the Hebrew, where we have a noun and then we have fear and we have God, we have the word of God, and that's in Genesis 15. We have the voice of Yahweh in Genesis 3, the name of Yahweh in Genesis 4, the eyes of Yahweh, the garden of Yahweh, the angel of Yahweh, the mount of Yahweh. So when we read the fear of Yahweh, what do we think? It's not supposed to be our fear. It's God's fear, not that God's afraid, but it's the wonder of God. It's God's wonder. In every instance in that construct, whatever's described belongs to Yahweh. The fear of Yahweh, it's not our fear. And so we know God cannot fear, but as pointed out, the Hebrew word yara literally means to flow out of the gut. So what flows out of Yahweh's gut, as it were? Let's look at two other constructs. And I think this is going to shed some light on this phrase, fear of the Lord. The Hebrew for the law of the Lord, the law is derived from that same word, fear, and that flows from the gut of God, his truth, his commands, his words. And spirit is also can be translated from Yirah as well. So the Holy Spirit of God, of course, flows from him. So as we are created in his image, we are not a fearful people, but we flow from the gut of our Maker, and from us into the community, people need to tap into that flowing of truth and spirit and presence and light as we are made in his image. And I just think that that offers us a wonderful insight that we are not to be fearful. We're to be strong. We're to flow from God in strength and courage and boldness and light. And that should offer us hope and offer those out there hope and connection and belonging in a time that is so chaotic. Could I just pray for us, please? Father, I thank you that you are not a God of fear. You are a God of truth and connection and courage and boldness. And when we tap into what flows from you, God, that's the front line of blessing and promise and miracle, I believe, God. So may we shine your light. May that flow from us as it flows from you, God, as your people. As we are created in your image, may others find that peace and connection in us as we just continue to go about confidently, boldly, yet safely and prudently in these times, God. May that offer hope to those around us and be a witness of calm and peace and ultimately a glimpse of you in these chaotic times. I thank you that we're here gathering, God, and we pray your protection and your continued protection as we leave this place and go to our homes and continue to wear our masks when we go shopping or wherever, God. We just pray that your hand would always be with us. We love you, and may we always be connected to you and each other. And for those who aren't able to physically gather, Lord, may they have a sense of connection even right now, God. Thank you for what you're doing at Greenwoods. Thank you for each and everyone here. Thank you for each and everyone who tunes in later today online, God. The church, as was prayed earlier, is not a building. The church is us, your people. And even this technology that thankfully is in place that allows us to connect in interesting ways. Be in all of that, God. We love you, and we praise you, and we thank you. Amen.